Our title of our message is going to be Why Moms Rock, The Gift of Motherhood. And I'm going to be coming to you from Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. And I'm going to put on my glasses because I'm not even going to play. Because I need them. All right. And it reads, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you." Before I get into that, I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to speak life to your people. We ask, Father, that the anointing which makes preaching easy would reside in this your vessel, and that you, O God, will touch each and every hearer. Not everyone is a mother, but they can still be touched by the message and by your word. We ask you, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Everett, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak before the people. Next. I didn't tell her next yet. No. He's so used to being up here. So, in Proverbs 6, 20 through 22, it says, "My son, observe to keep your father's commandments." Observe to keep, obey, honor, respect, and follow the commandment of your father. And forsake not, do not renounce, relinquish, discard the teachings of your mother. You know, mothers are some of the important, most important people we'll ever know. Whether your children are biological, whether they are adopted, or they're bonus children, because we don't believe in stepchildren over here. Mothers have the opportunity to love, teach, and prepare our children for the life in this world and in the world to come. So let's look at a couple of things that mothers have the opportunity to do. Next, please, Charmaine. Mothers leave a spiritual inheritance. Mothers who are devoted Christians, women, are typically more spiritual than fathers. Fathers teach us how to apply our faith, and mothers, it's from mothers that we learn the sincere faith of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1:5, it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you from the laying on of hands." You know, when my kids were younger, I used to teach them scripture. When I taught them scripture, I taught it to them in song. I taught it to them when, I taught it to them through song, and we would talk about a lot of the word of God during when we were sitting in the car, riding in the car, or when we were just sitting around. We would always talk about the word of God when they were younger. When they were in Kingdom Kids, which is what we call it, Sunday school, but we call them Kingdom Kids because we wanted them to know that they weren't just kids, but they were citizens of the kingdom. When they learn things, we would sit, talk about the word of God, how it applies to your life, even as a young child, not just as an adult, but how you, as a young child, are a citizen of the kingdom, and what you do now and what you learn now affects now and in eternity. Because their dad had a hectic schedule, it was my responsibility to instill the ways of the Lord in them. So If there was something outside of my jurisdiction, even though I'm their mother, I always took it to their father. Because as a wife, he was the head of our household. And I'm sorry, y'all, I haven't done this in a long time. I made sure I informed my husband so that he could address whatever needed to be addressed at the priest of our home. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah prayed earnestly to the Lord to bless her son. She vows that her son will be dedicated back to the Lord. And when she does it, in fact, she keeps her word and gives Samuel back to God. In her obedience, God blesses her with 3 sons and 2 daughters for the 1 son that she gave him. In turn, Samuel became a great prophet to the nation. Because Hannah was faithful to keep her word after she prayed, the Lord abundantly blessed her. She then was able to visibly point out to all of her children the faithfulness and the sovereignty of God. Because of prayer, I was able to teach my children the sovereignty of God. My daughter one time, Charmaine, when she was 4 years old, she had asthma. She didn't have asthma. She had an asthma attack. She never had asthma. And everyone around me was saying, she's got asthma, she's got asthma, she's got asthma. And I was like, no, she doesn't. They said, she's having an asthma attack. I said, she doesn't have asthma. Well, we had to take her to the hospital and get her an emergency breathing treatment. And I was telling the Lord the whole time that we were doing, my daughter doesn't have asthma. I don't know what this is, what's going on, but my daughter doesn't have asthma. The next day I told Charmaine, come on, we're going to get up and we're going to go to church. And we went to church that day, and my husband was working that Sunday. And I went down for prayer. And my pastor came, and he called 2 elders because Sister Spencer just don't go down for prayer for nothing. So this is going to be something. I took my baby up there, and I told my pastor. I said, look, he said, what's going on, Sister Spencer? I said, the doctor said my daughter had asthma. I said that she don't, because I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. She's never had anything like this happen. She had an asthma attack yesterday. I had to take her to the hospital, to the emergency room to get treatment. And I don't believe that this is of the Lord. So what I want you to do is I want you to agree with me for my baby that whatever is going on is going to be broken. So he looked at the elders and he said, all right, let's go. And we began to pray for Charmaine. And Charmaine has never had a breathing problem again. And that was the sovereignty of God that I was able to pass on to my babies, my son and my daughter, to let them know God is a healer. God answers prayer. He's the God of your father and your mother, and he's your God too. And this is a spiritual inheritance that you have, which is answered prayer. You know, one time I was sick, I don't know what happened to me. I don't know if I ate some. You know, I used to eat cheesecake all the time. It'd be like, oh, my stomach hurt. I don't even know what I did. But I had a very, very upset stomach. And my husband prayed for me. Nothing happened. I had an elder pray for me. They was at our house and nothing happened. So my 2-year-old son told me, mommy, I'll pray for you. I said, baby, come on. Somebody need to come on and lay hands on mommy. And he prayed for me and I was healed. And that showed him the power of an answered prayer. These are spiritual inheritances and spiritual, I'm looking for a word. Can you help me? Inheritances that you can teach your children. King David refers to his mother as the handmaiden of the Lord. She was devoted to God, and because of her devotion, David was blessed. David used his mother's devotion to God to gain the audience that he needed for God with the Father. In Psalms 86:16, it says, "Turn to me and be gracious to me. Oh, grant me your strength to your servant and save your son of your handmaiden." You know, when my son, I talk about my son and my daughter, sometimes they would be in some deep stuff. And I wouldn't even know because they weren't even around me. But I would know because the Holy Spirit would wake me up in the middle of the night to pray for them. And I would lose sleep. And y'all know I got to get up 5 o'clock in the morning. So when I lose sleep, I'm like, come on now. But it was during those times that when I talk to my son and my daughter, they tell me, you know what, Mom? I know when I was in the middle of doing this, this, and this, I knew you were praying for me because God miraculously brought me out of the situation. So a praying mother is something else. I love it. Psalms 116:16 says, "O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaiden. You loose my bonds." You know, when my daughter came back to Christ, it was the things that I taught her that drew her back. And the grace that God showed my son and my daughter in a time of trouble was attributed to the faithfulness of their mother. Not just their mother, but their father also. Number two, mothers make tough choices. Mothers make decisions that may break their heart for the good of their children. In Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh puts into place a law that all male Hebrew babies must die in order to keep them from overthrowing the Egyptians. In Exodus 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, "The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no more, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with the tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile." In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 24 through 26, the king said, "Get me a sword." And they brought the sword before the king. The king said, "Divide the living child in two. Give half to one and half to the other." Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son and said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child. And by no means kill him." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." You know, we as mothers always, always, always make tough, tough decisions. And especially when it comes to our children, because we love our children. There was a time when my son, he had a basketball scholarship. He was in high school, and he got a basketball scholarship. And he stopped going to school behind our back. We didn't know. And so we always loved to have our children around us, but we had to make the tough decision to send him to prep school, which was in another state. And to me, my son had never been away from me. And it was really tough. But I knew that it was for his good. He thought we forsook him. He thought we didn't love him anymore. He thought a whole lot of things. But when it was all said and done and he got that scholarship, he thanked us for the tough decision that he made. When Charmaine was a junior in high school, we had to move to Georgia. And you all heard this story before. We had to move to Georgia. I was against it at first, but when the Holy Spirit said, "You going to Georgia?" I had no choice. And I told her, pack your stuff up. We getting ready to leave. We getting up out of here. And she was not very happy about that. But 15 years later, you can tell her that it was a tough decision, but it was the right decision to make. Because if you see her now, you'll see that the sovereignty of God led us here to Georgia so that she could have a rich and satisfying life. Amen. Can I get an amen, Charmaine? Point number three. Mothers can have a lasting impact on how their children serve God. It's important that mothers teach their children to have their own faith and their own relationship with God. While mothers leave a spiritual inheritance for their children, that is not what saves them. What saves them is their own relationship with Jesus. You know, we as mothers have to make sure that we pass on our faith to our children. We're living in a world where everything is anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-whatever's good. They have to live beyond this world. They have to live beyond what we see. They have to live beyond this day and age. They have to be able to walk in the things of God and to know that Jesus is their Lord. And they'll learn that through you and I as mothers. Our children, although we taught them the ways of the Lord, they both strayed away. But it was because we knew what we put in them that they would come back. There's going to be a day when we as mothers have to answer for what we taught our children. Let's teach them what's right. Let's teach them what's good. Let's teach them what's holy. Whatever they do, let's let them know that there's an eternity, that we're all going to go back to eternity. We came from eternity, we're going to go back to eternity. But it's how you live in this life where you're going to go in eternity. That even though they may not like the things that we do, and sometimes they may not like us, because I know my children didn't like me all the time. A lot of times I wasn't very likable. But it still didn't negate the fact that I had to teach them there is a God. There's an almighty God. There's not just a God. There is the almighty God. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for your sin. You're going to see Jesus one day. What side of Jesus you want to be on? You want to be on his right side, which is his good side, or you want to be on his left side, and where he says, depart from me, thou work of iniquity. I don't even know you. So one of the things I told my kids was, don't go to hell sitting on a pew. Because you can come to church and you could do your due and just come to church, sing in the choir, preach, do whatever you're going to do. But if you're not living right, guess what? There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction, and it's the way of death. And so you don't want that. You don't want to sit on a pew and sit in the church and your heart is not even there. Your heart is not for Jesus. Your heart is for Jesus as Savior, but your heart ain't for Jesus as Lord. Because if he's Lord, you're going to do what he says. But if he's Savior, all right, he's going to save me from my mess and whatever I want to do. I'm going to keep doing my mess and he's going to save me. That ain't how it works. I told my children, you got to make him Lord. He's going to be Lord of all, or he's going to not be Lord at all. But don't go to hell sitting on a pew, being in the church. The words of encouragement that mothers give to our children will always lead them close in the closer relationship to God. One of the things that I told Charmaine when she came back to the Lord was, do the big things like they're little, and God will do the little things like they're big. I would bring to remembrance to her the prophetic words that were spoken over her life ever since she was young, that God had plans for her. Jeremiah 29:11 was a pivotal scripture for my children. I would always tell them, even when they were out doing their thing, my family would call me and say, hey, how's E doing? How's Charmaine doing? And I said, you know what? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. My kids have a hope and a future. Every child has a hope and a future. It's what you do with that hope and that future. Do you believe it or don't you believe it? Parents, mothers, I should say. We need to teach our children that the Almighty God is no longer our God. He's not just our God. We have to lead them to being their God. He's not the God of my father and my mother. He is my God. So here's the takeaway. Mothers have a unique opportunity to impact the future. Proverbs 1:8 says, thank you. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Let's make sure that we leave a proper legacy of faith in Jesus Christ, hope in his promises, and extreme obedience to his word for the generations and the generations to come. That is the ministry gift of a mother. Indeed, they are graceful. Okay, you can put that back up there. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck. Amen.